Blog Talk Radio.
Is your content engaging prospects and customers? And is it relevant to meeting and solving their business needs? Welcome to this edition of Enterprise Marketing, The Future, the show which focuses on how the future of marketing is about performing real time, being an agile organization to make the most of evolving opportunities to impact customers and profits. I'm your host, Helene Eichler. Join us to stay up on trends and best practices for marketing thought leaders that fuel organizations' current and future marketing effectiveness. Today, we're excited to have Joe Peluzzi, founder of the Content Marketing Institute, with us to discuss how to create and execute a winning content marketing strategy. Welcome, Joe.
Helene, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be on.
Yeah, thank you. Well, let's get started. Joe, you've been doing this for quite a while. What do you see as the most critical considerations when creating meaningful content?
Well, I think the first place to start is what we know about large enterprises and even small companies is that they don't even have a documented content marketing strategy of any kind. So I can't express enough the importance of, you know, measuring twice and cutting once, where we actually put a strategy together. So that's the first thing. And I think what we're seeing, Elaine, is because we can publish content so many different ways, you see a lot of organizations out there that just are creating content. According to our annual research, we know that the average enterprise communicates with one audience 13 to 15 different ways. That's probably too much, and the what we're probably seeing alongside of that is the fact that the content is mostly about themselves. It's not differentiated in any way. It's not cutting through the clutter at all. So kind of wrap that whole thing up. Yes, I want to see strategies, and most of all, I want to see, are they actually telling a different story that's valuable to the end user in some way, and are they doing it consistently? Is it part of a campaign where it's not going to be a long-term value, it's not going to build a long-term asset, but are you actually doing it consistently over time? And differentiation and consistency are the two keys when it comes to starting off your content marketing strategy.
And then, Joe, how can you measure the impact your content is having in the buying process? I mean, you put out, as you just mentioned, a lot of touches, a lot of content. How do you know what makes a difference?
Well, what we want to see, so basically, we're not just creating content for content's sake, right? We actually want to see a behavior change at the end of the day. So if you look at what the formal definition of content marketing is, we're trying to create valuable, relevant, and compelling information on a consistent basis to a targeted audience in order to see some kind of a behavior change. There's lots of low-level indicators where you can see content working, right? You could see qualitative feedback. You could see website traffic. You could see leads come in, maybe, depending on where those leads are at. But my favorite one, I mean, there's lots of different ways to measure, whether you're trying to drive sales, save costs, or create happier customers at the end of the day. But my favorite one is actually creating email subscribers of some kind. So basically the whole idea is we're trying to build an audience. And when we build that audience, hopefully they will become to know, like, and trust us more. And if they know, like, and trust us more, they will ultimately buy more things from us or stay longer as customers or close faster or whatever the ongoing goal is. So what we can do is, let's say we have a content marketing approach and then we build an e-newsletter component with that. You can actually take the e-newsletter list, that database, and you can match that against your customer database. It actually doesn't take a lot of technology to do this. You can match it up pretty easily, and then you look at the difference. But those that engage in your content, what's the difference with your customer base? Do they stay longer as customers? Do they buy more as customers? Do they close faster as customers? What do they do? And that's the place that I definitely want to start so that we can look and say, look, we built this audience. This is an asset for the organization, and this is what it's doing for our specific product line, our group, whatever the case is. So it's definitely all about building that audience. Then ends up we see a behavior change at the end of the day.
Joe, you're working with many different enterprises, as you mentioned. I mean, what are some examples that you've seen where this has really been done well?
Oh, there's a lot. I mean, you have to go out. It's kind of written into my agreement that I have to mention the Red Bull example. So I'll quickly mention Red Bull. You know, that they started as a magazine and Red Bulletin in 2005, and now today Red Bull Media House is one of the leading media companies in the world. And their actual goal, you know, their goal at some point is to have more, as many subscribers as they sell in cans every year. It's amazing. How they're doing this, and they're really doing, they're doing some amazing work all around, not only the print magazine, but they syndicate 5,000 videos and 50,000 images to actual media companies, and they're measured as a media company, which is interesting. We've seen a couple other companies come out in the last few weeks, Pepsi and Mondelez, and they both say that they're launching content marketing departments as a profit center. So their goal is actually to generate revenue and pay for the marketing itself. Now, that's sort of those are sort of outliers. It's interesting to see that happen. But if you just look at some really amazing case studies, you could look at a company like Copyblogger, you know, one of the fastest growing software as a service companies out there. They started in 2006. For 19 months, they blogged every day around online copywriting and search engine optimization, and now 99% of their revenue comes from their email subscriber list. They have over 200,000 email subscribers. HubSpot, it's an interesting example, the marketing automation company. I mean, they're a multi-billion dollar market cap company now. They absolutely created a whole category called inbound marketing and published consistently and built an audience, and that's how they became this multi-billion dollar the company. And then another great manufacturing example is Indium. Indium is a manufacturer out of New York. They manufacture industrial soldering equipment. They started a blog in 2005, and they were trying to become the leading expert in industrial soldering equipment. So if you think you have boring content out there, you just have to look at Indium's example that you can do anything if you're focused and targeted. They were targeting engineers, and within 18 months of launching that blog, they saw a 600% increase in qualified leads. It's completely transformed the company. That's how they go to market. And that's what we've seen with all these examples is once you, if you do this consistently over time and you target an audience, you actually build an asset and it actually starts working for you. It's not, you don't have to start over like you have to with an advertising campaign every time and you're trying to get results immediately off of that program. A content marketing approach basically grows in value over time, just like a stock would over time, where you're building an audience and you see more and more people add to that audience and the value is in the audience and their behavior change over time. So lots of other examples. We're seeing Marriott do some really incredible things. Now, Lego, of course, one of my favorite examples on the planet. I used to get their magazine, Brick Kicks magazine, in 1987. And, of course, they've evolved that to such a way as now there's a movie named after their company, Lego. So it's just it's interesting to see how we've evolved and how brands today are the new media companies. And they have all the money, they have all the budget, and I think we're going to continue to see this as the fastest-growing area of marketing for some time now.
I would have to agree with you. Obviously, I am familiar with HubSpot as well. In fact, just went up to a seminar that they had in San Francisco, but they've really gotten a lot of traction out here, and they do a lot of content marketing. I mean, that's kind of interesting to hear you pull that. Now, Joe, where do you find marketers typically miss the mark in developing and executing a successful content marketing
approach? I don't know if we have enough time for all this, Aline. let's just go over some of the basics. The first thing is they focus on campaigns and not ongoing approaches and programs. Content marketing is a marathon. It's not a sprint. You actually have to do this over a considerable period of time. Most of the really good examples I was just talking about, they took well over 12 months to hit some kind of monetization, some kind of ROI. So what we see out there is a lot of marketers are trying 6-month, 9-month programs, and they simply can't work because it takes longer than that to build a loyal relationship with an audience through content. So that's one way. The second way we talked about a little bit is most businesses are creating content that you can find anywhere. And if you're going to create content that you're going to find anywhere, you're not going to break through the clutter, you're not going to build a relationship, you're not going to get anybody's attention, and it's not going to work for you. So if you want to really make this work, you have to tell a differentiated story. We call this the content tilt, where you find an area of little to no competition around a content niche targeting a very specific audience. So we want to focus on an area that we can actually be the leading expert in the world at something and focus one audience at a time. So that's the other thing, Elaine, is we marketers historically try to target more than one audience. So if you're a B2B company and you're targeting 7 to 9 decision makers, buyers, influencers, gatekeepers, whatever the case is, and you're taking a content marketing approach, you can only target one at a time. If you're targeting CEOs and CFOs at the same time, you will guarantee, you will absolutely fail because the needs and the pain points of those audiences are very different and you can't be relevant enough. And when you target more than one audience, then you have to broaden your content out. It can't be relevant enough and you're not going to break through. So those are some of the things. I mean, we could talk about how we've had reliance on social media metrics for so long, and social media is taking away a lot of our reach that we used to get for free, and now it's become paid. So we've had that's been an ongoing issue, where a lot of companies aren't building their platforms and owning them and controlling them. They're building them on other properties, which is fine. But you got to remember, if you build your land on Facebook and you rent your land on YouTube, you don't control those connections. YouTube and Facebook does, so you've got to make sure that you understand the risks that go along with that. So those are kind of some of the major ones, but consistency and differentiation are by far the biggest two failures that we see out there.
Well, Joe, I appreciate all your input here. I would love to just wrap up. Give us 3 to 4 good points to remember, to take away from this discussion today on content marketing.
3 to 4. Okay. Well, I'll give you a few just as they come into my head. I think the one thing is, remember, this is not the story you necessarily want to tell. It's the story that your audience needs to hear, and sometimes we forget about that. So, of course, we want to sell more widgets. So we want to create more loyal customers. And a lot of times we do a bait and switch with our content where we want to talk about all the stuff that makes us great, and we've got to realize that our customers don't care about our stuff at all. They don't care about our products and services. They care about their own pain points. And we have to really have a nose like a journalist, like a publisher, and treat that like an audience that we want to have be loyal to us for a long period of time. So that's the one thing. I think the other thing to remember is if you're starting a content marketing approach, you actually don't want to spray that story all over every channel. What we've seen, and this is for the last 100-plus years, whether you look at the greatest media companies of our time, whether it's New York Times, Wall Street Journal, ESPN, Huffington Post, and on into today with some of those great content marketing examples we were talking about, they start off with, for the most part, one content type. Is it audio? Is it video? Is it textual plus image? One platform, if you will. Is it my blogger website? Is it a magazine? Is it iTunes? Is it YouTube? They consistently deliver. And when I say consistently deliver, let's say you were going to do a blog and you say, I blog 3 times a week. I say, no, you don't. You blog Monday at 7, Wednesday at 7, and Friday at 7, and you don't stop that, and you never break that content promise. And then the fourth part about that is consistency over time. So you've got to make sure you set your expectations, because you're probably not going to hit real ROI until after the 12-month mark. At least that's what all of our research tells us. So that's all about building the base. So instead of spraying your content all over everywhere, it's best to be great at one thing. So that content type and content platform are really key. And then the last thing I would probably say is focus on email, actually. I mean, a lot of people think email is dead. I think email has never been more important than it is right now, because of the fact that we were talking about social media connections. All those fans and followers that you're building on other platforms, you don't control those. Facebook and YouTube and LinkedIn control those. So where do we have the most control and connection over our communications? It's with opt-in email. And if you want to really make that work for you, you've got to make sure that you have, first, an amazing e-newsletter. Like, I mean, the kind of e-newsletter that people don't think is spam and they don't want to delete when they open up their email. And the second thing is you have to have some amazing download, a research report, an e-book, some kind of tool that people will be actually willing to give up their email address for that exchange of value. So I think the focus on email, I don't see that going away, Lena. I think that's going to continue to be one of the core ways. And just and a really good example of that is look at BuzzFeed. I mean, their recent revenue and earnings report came out, it was not what they expected. It was much lower than everyone was expecting. Well, why was that? It's because they're not getting the reach they used to get from Facebook and Twitter and other social platforms. So right now the executives of BuzzFeed are freaking out a little bit because they don't own any of their distribution. That's all owned by other companies. So what are they doing? They're really focused on building their email subscription lists, kind of going old world just like media companies do. So I think in the future, you're not going to be able to tell a media company from a brand that sells products and services. Whether we perceive that differently, that's fine. But actually, both types of companies, they will both have audience-building platforms like we're talking about on this show, and they will also sell products and services. You won't see much of a difference as it comes down to it, and it's just going to be interesting as we go on to see more media companies are going to be selling products and services, and more brands are going to be publishing like media companies, and it should be a wild ride to see that.
Well, it sounds like the lines are going to get kind of blurred there based on your feedback.
Exactly. I think they already are blurred. I mean, I look at a company, when I look at a company like a Lego, it looks like a media company to me that also sells products and services. But if you look at New York Times, they do the same thing. It's just people don't notice. I mean, they're selling certain things. I mean, if you remember Wall Street Journal's Wine Club, you know, they're selling things already and they're looking for products and services to sell because advertising is not what it once was. Paid subscriptions are not what they once were. So the media business model is deteriorating, but media has never been stronger in general. We're not going to be able to sell advertising and subscriptions against it necessarily, but we can sell more products and services.
Got it. Well, Joe, thank you so much for your time today, and we'll be looking forward to maybe conversations in the future.
Sounds fantastic. Thanks, Elaine.
Thanks.